I want to talk to you today. Some of you are here, and I think this word is for somebody today. I want to talk to somebody who wonders if being faithful is worth it. I want to talk to somebody who might be working for the Lord, and it seems like what you're doing is so small and insignificant. Maybe you've thought about quitting. I want to talk to somebody who wonders even if serving the Lord is really worth the time that it's taking to serve him. I want to share with you a Bible character that I hope will encourage you, that will strengthen you, that if you're a little weak in your commitment to the Lord, if you're a little shaky in your faith, I want to share with you a Bible character that I think will help you this morning. And he's found, I didn't bring my Bible with me, it'll be on the screen, it's found in Acts chapter 1. This passage is soon after the ascension of Jesus. He's resurrected. He goes to be with the Father. And so it's very early in the life of the church. And so in verse 15 of Acts chapter 1, it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether the number of names was about 120, and said, 'Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all of the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.'" In other words, they're replacing Judas here. "And they proposed to Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.' And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Now, again, Jesus has resurrected, and so here are the early apostles. There are 11. There, Judas had betrayed Jesus Christ, and he had committed suicide. He had hung himself. And Peter says to the other disciples, "You know what? We need to replace Judas, because 11's not a great number. We need 12 apostles. God has designed that there be 12. And they agreed that really what they were looking for was simply someone who had been with Jesus from the time of his baptism to the time of his resurrection. So essentially somebody who had been there during the earthly ministry of Jesus. And I don't know if only two people qualified or if they narrowed it down and came to Matthias and Justus, but they said these are the two that were with Jesus from the time of baptism to the time of resurrection. And so let's cast lots, let's pray, and then let's cast lots to see who God chooses, which I don't know is a very spiritual way to do it. And in fact, someone pointed out that after the Holy Spirit descends on Pentecost, the disciples never again cast lots. But here they are, and they're saying, "We've got Matthias here, and we've got Justus over here, and let's flip a coin. Justus, your heads, Matthias, your tails." We don't know how they did it, but they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and Matthias became the 12th apostle. Apostles are the greatest office in the church, and as I understand it, there's only 12, and after the 12 died, there are no more apostles, because again, they had to witness Jesus' earthly ministry, and so no one does that. So a 21st century apostle, I think they've misread the scripture, because you only have the 12. They become the foundation of the church, and here Matthias is appointed the 12th apostle. Now think about that for a minute. All he had going for him was faithfulness. This is the only place that we read about him in the Bible, which means that he did not distinguish himself among the other disciples. Far as we know, he wasn't a teacher, wasn't a preacher, wasn't an evangelist, wasn't a scholar, wasn't a theologian. He might have had the most menial jobs. He might have been the guy who was doing crowd control. He might have been the guy who was parking camels in the field. He might have been the guy who was carrying the water, who was carrying the luggage for the disciples. But as far as we know, he did not distinguish himself in any way. All that he had going for him was that he was faithful. When somebody said, hey, you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, Matthias could say, yeah, I was there. Remember when he healed the kid? Yep, I was there. Remember when Jesus healed the blind man? Yep, I was there. The only thing Matthias had going for him was that he was there. He was faithful. That's all that he seems to have had on his resume. I was faithful. And yet, that qualified him for the greatest job in the kingdom of God at that time, which was one of the apostles. Now, let me just say this. For each of us, there are others in the kingdom of God who can outdo us in any number of ways. You can throw a rock and find somebody who can outpreach me. They can outdo me in that area. Everybody can outsing me. They can. In fact, I was looking at the pictures, Thomas, of you and Tim and Adam and Ethan, and you guys were part of the town choir, and you went to Europe, and you sang, and you put tons of pictures on Facebook just to stick it to us that we couldn't sing. And I realized that, you got to sing in wonderful places, and they're eating wonderful food in between the singing because they're great musicians, they have great talent, and I'm sitting there eating my cabbage soup, and they're eating some great thing in Switzerland, and I'm sitting there trying not to be envious, and I'm saying to myself, you know, they're going back in 2 years, and so I got 2 years to learn how to sing, because I'm going. But the truth of the matter is that 2 years isn't going to be enough for me to be able to sing in the town choir. It's just something that has passed me by, and I won't be able to sing well till I get to heaven, and then I'll be able to sing like Dean Martin. But until then, I'm a second fiddle in that area. And you and I, in each way, can look at our lives and say, other people can outdo us. Other people are greater leaders. They're more gifted in this area. They're more liked by the kids in the nursery. They have us beat in these areas, but we all ought to be able to say to the Lord, while I might have to take a second or a back seat to others in other areas of gifting, no one is going to outfaithful me. That is the one area that no one is going to beat me in. When it's all said and done, I want to be first in being faithful, just as Matthias was. Again, he was not a gifted man, apparently, but he was a faithful man, and God was looking for somebody who wasn't necessarily flashy, but he was looking for somebody who was faithful. And God is still looking for faithfulness over flashy any day of the week. Now, I think that there were some things that tempted Matthias not to be faithful, and I want to share these with you very quickly because I understand time is fleeting. I think one of the things that Matthias had to overcome to be faithful was the varying presence of God, or the varying presence of Jesus in his midst. It's interesting in verse 21, it says that Matthias was with Jesus in his comings and goings. Comings and goings. Jesus wasn't always with his disciples. In fact, John chapter 5, verse 16 says that Jesus often withdrew from everybody and went and prayed by himself. We know that he went to the wilderness by himself and was tempted by Satan for 40 days. So he wasn't with his disciples or followers at that time. There were times when Jesus was closer to Matthias And there were times when he was at a distance. Matthias could not see him or hear him. And yet, in spite of that, in spite of the fact that Jesus would often withdraw, when Jesus got back, Matthias was waiting on him. And you and I are going to have to address that issue in our life if we are going to be faithful. There are times when it seems like, and I don't fully understand this, because Jesus is with us always in one way, but there are times when he feels a lot closer than he does at other times. He can feel close, and for some reason, he can feel a bit of a distance from you. There are times when you come to worship, and it seems as though the Holy Spirit is sitting next to you on your aisle, and there are times when it just doesn't seem like the Spirit is ministering to you in that moment. There are times when you pray, and it's an emotional thing for you. It's as though Jesus was right there with you, and there are times when you pray, and you sometimes feel like you're going through the motions. There are times in your life when you read the Bible, and it's rich, and it's just coming out at you. And there are other times that you read the Bible, and you do it, and by noon, you don't remember what you read. You did it, but you didn't seem to get fed from that experience. But keep worshiping anyway. Keep praying anyway. Keep studying the Word anyway. Keep doing it even when it seems like Jesus is far away. If you're going to be faithful, you're going to have to worship God. You're going to have to be dedicated to Jesus when he feels right here and when he feels way over there. And Matthias was faithful to Jesus in his comings and his goings. It's another thing that Matthias had to deal with in his life to be faithful. And that is, he had to deal with the hard sayings of Jesus. It's interesting in John chapter 6 that Jesus feeds the 5,000, takes five loaves and two fishes, and he feeds 5,000 people. And then right after that, he begins to look at that crowd that had assembled, and something moves within Jesus. He sees, I think, that they are following him for the loaves and the fishes. And so he said something that was intent on thinning out the crowd. He said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no part of me. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I will not raise you up on the last day. But if you do, I will raise you up on the last day. And they started to look at each other and they thought, oh, he's done lost it. I mean, what's he talking about eating his flesh? And they're thinking in the physical, and I think Jesus is saying, listen, you guys want this bread. You guys are eating my bread. You want what I have for you. But until you come to me and you want me as much as you want the bread, you're not going to have any part of me. And so he makes this very hard saying, and people begin to walk away from him. The crowd thins out so much that Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, will you leave me too? And Peter said, where would we go, Lord? You have the words of life. But Matthias must have heard that word, and as the vast majority of that crowd left, we just read that in the upper room there was only 120 left. He fed 5,000, not counting women and children. So as he thinned out that crowd drastically, Matthias must have heard those words, those tough statements of Jesus, and said, well, I'm going to stay anyway. I'm staying with him. And you're going to have to do that. You know, early in my ministry, I took sort of a bit of offense when people would say to me in the church things like, Pastor, I was here before you came, and I'll be here after you leave. And it felt like they were saying, Pastor, if somebody leaves, it won't be me, it'll be you. I used to take offense at that. You know what? I enjoy hearing that now. Because what they're saying to me is, Pastor, you're not going to run me out of here. There ain't nothing you can preach that's going to cause me to leave. There's no song that gets sung that's going to cause me to leave. There's nothing that the teacher can teach that's going to cause me to walk out of this place. The stewards can do what they want, but I'm going to serve the Lord whatever anybody else does. I'm going to be faithful. And Matthias was faithful regardless of what Jesus taught. And I'm not saying put up with false doctrine. I'm not saying that. But you might have to put up with some tough sermons. You might have to put up with some things that you don't personally like. But be faithful anyway. Something else Matthias had to deal with in his life. And that was his own personal feelings. He had to deal with the comings and going of Jesus. He had to deal with some of the things Jesus said that thinned out crowds. He had to deal with his own personal feelings. He had to get tired at times because Jesus got tired at times. And so those who followed Jesus must have got as tired as Jesus. It wasn't always easy to follow Jesus. It was hard. Jesus didn't have any place to sleep, and Matthias no doubt slept on the ground at times, and it was dusty, and Jesus was in conflict with a lot of different people, and there had to be times when Matthias said, "Boy, this is so hard. I am so tired. I don't know how much longer I can do this." But in spite of his feelings, from all indications, Matthias was faithful to God. And you're going to have to be faithful to God in spite of your feelings. In spite of your feelings. Some people say, if I don't feel it, but I do it, that makes me a hypocrite. If I'm not feeling it, if I don't feel like doing it, but I do it anyway, that makes me some kind of a phony. Well, listen, I'm glad my wife's a phony, if that's your definition of a phony. Because I don't think she always wants to be a mother. I don't think she feels like cleaning. I don't think she feels like cooking. I don't think she feels like doing a lot of the stuff that needs to be done around the house. But in spite of that, she's faithful to do it. Did you know, some of you may not know this, that the work of the church is done by tired people? It's done by tired people. You come in here on Tuesday nights, you'll see tired people serving. You come in here on Wednesday nights and you look around the kitchen and you look at who's sitting up tables and tearing them down, you're going to see a bunch of tired people doing those jobs. They worked all day. The work of the church is done by tired people. And that was put into place, the pattern was set by Jesus Christ himself, because in Gethsemane, he was tired, he was wore out, and Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. He did not feel like carrying the cross up Golgotha. He didn't feel like it, but praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you did. Thank you, you're faithful to us. And you're going to have to overcome feelings to be faithful. If you do everything you feel like doing, you're not going to end up doing much. You don't always feel like showing up and doing what God wants you to do. You don't always feel like forgiving people and turning the other cheek. You don't always feel like biting your tongue. You don't always feel like showing up at your accountability group. You don't always feel like that. Maybe you don't usually feel like that. But you got to say no to your feelings. Christianity teaches that feelings are feelings. It's what you do that counts. Feelings are feelings. In spite of your feelings, you can say no to your feelings. You can rise up and you can be the person that God wants you to be. You can be a faithful person. You need to do the next best step. You need to do the next right thing in your life in spite of how you feel. And so here's Matthias, and in spite of the comings and goings of Jesus, in spite of some of the things that Jesus said, in spite of his own personal feelings, he remained faithful. Now, this is the last point, and I want to drive this home to you. Because I think Matthias was also faithful. I had my Bible. Did you put my Bible there? I thought I looked at it and didn't see it. Not crazy. In spite, let me put it this way. Matthias was faithful, fourthly, in spite of his failures. In spite of his failures. We don't know what his failures might have been But we know that everybody falls short of the glory of God. And we don't know what his failures were, but we know that there must have been failures, because even when we get to the Hall of Fame of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, all of those men and women who make the Hall of Fame of the faithful, we know them to be people who had failures in their life, and their failures are recorded in the Bible. We don't know what his failures were, but we do know that in spite of his failures, he continued to serve the Lord. See, sometimes in our lives, and maybe a lot of times, it's our failures that stop us from being faithful. Because we've tried it, we've started over and over and over again, and at some point you just say, I'm never going to get it together, so I'm just going to quit. And that's a tendency that people have. The failures can sort of whittle away our faithfulness. But listen to me. Faithfulness and perfection aren't the same thing. Faithfulness is going on and not quitting even when you're not perfect. Faithfulness is to get up and continue to go even when you fail. It's not perfection. It's momentum. It's a drive to finish what you've started even when you've fallen. That's what God wants from us. That's what faithfulness is. Let me be honest with you here for a minute. Maybe you haven't heard a preacher say this, but you know, most preachers take Saturday off and Monday off. And I would rather have 2 days off in a row, because I would be more refreshed with 2 days off in a row. But you got to take Saturday off because that's your family day. And you got to take Monday off to recover from Sunday. Because here's something you may not know about preachers. Most of the time you preach, you feel like a failure. I remember hearing one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life talking about this, and he said, at this moment in my life, I'm satisfied with about half my sermons. But when you preach, you feel the human aspect greatly, and you do come to the pulpit with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it's not enough to feed anybody. You feel deeply that you do not have enough to minister to the needs of the people. The hurts and the pains that are in this room, I don't have enough. Now, what's great is that the Lord can take what I offer, which is meager, and multiply it and feed people far beyond what my 5 loaves and 2 fishes can do. But even at that, you fill your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes. Part of being a pastor is constantly feeling like a failure. Listen, you walk into hospital rooms and people are maybe dying, people are struggling, and when the family looks at you, you just sense that they're looking at you saying, Pastor, it hurts. Say something to make it feel better. And you don't know what to say. And oftentimes you walk out of there and you feel like a failure. Pastors usually don't mind not being asked to do funerals, because funerals are tough. You stand up and the pain is raw, and all you have is what you've got. And if the Lord doesn't help you, you're finished. And oftentimes in the face of all that pain, your words seem very, very small, and you drive away from the cemetery feeling like a failure again. But listen to me. You have to get up and keep moving from the failure. If you strike out, rest up, go at it again. You got to make another visit. You got to try to help another family. And in God's power, He multiplies what you have. But you have to deal, if you're in the ministry, with the constant clouds of failure. And you may say, that's Satan doing that. Maybe that is. Maybe that is part of the spiritual warfare of ministry. But regardless of where it comes from, it's there. And you're going to have to keep going when you feel like you failed. If you feel like as a Sunday school teacher you didn't do well today, show back up next week. Try it again. Teach another lesson. Parents feel that way. And I feel for working mothers, I think, more than anybody else in our society. And I hope that working mothers don't leave our services feeling like they have more guilt than when they came in. Because I can't imagine what it's like to work a public job and and to raise children and to have all the responsibilities that you have at home. You feel like, I think, that you're not giving 100% to anything in your life. And that can feel like I'm a failure. I'm not doing my best at my work. I'm not doing my best as a mother. I'm not doing my best around the house. But listen, in spite of all that, just be faithful. In spite of the feelings of failure, get back up tomorrow and go again. Because God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for somebody who won't quit in spite of their failures. You need to keep going. Sometimes you feel that in a marriage. If you're sensitive, you do feel like you failed time and time again. But keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. And you can do that morally. You can fail morally. Listen to me. If you've disappointed God this week, it doesn't mean that it's over for you. You can still be numbered among the faithful. You can still be listed among the faithful. If you'll repent, get back up and run again. Run again. Listen, it is impossible to verbalize what a great failure Peter made when he denied Jesus Christ, when he said, I don't know the man, the way that he said that he cursed, and the curse had to have an object. So he either had to say, I'll be blank if I know the man, or he is blank if I know him. And so it may be that he cursed Jesus, or he cursed Jesus. It may be that he cursed Jesus. And it says that he went out and he wept bitterly. When was the last time that you failed God and you wept bitterly? I mean, it just tore you up into the ground. You knew that you had morally failed and you wept bitterly. It says Peter got up. And when Jesus was resurrected and he came out to see the 12 apostles, you know what? Peter was there. He failed, but he was faithful. He got up, and when he saw Jesus coming, he got out of the boat and he ran to him on the water. He kept going. Now, Judas failed God. He failed Jesus. He denied Jesus. And I think Jesus would have forgiven Judas. I think he would have. What Judas did was not the unforgivable sin. I believe that Jesus is so gracious that he would have forgiven Judas. But Judas could not have forgiven himself. And he went out and he hung himself. Judas, I think Judas could have got his job back if he would have repented. I really do believe that. I believe that the grace of God would have covered Judas, and Judas could have been an example like Peter of the power of God to change a life, but he could not forgive himself. And listen, what I'm trying to say is that we can often be our own worst enemies. We can be Judas to ourselves. We can say, I failed, and it's sometimes it's a public failure, and it's like, well, I'll never be listed among the faithful now. No, if you'll get up, you can still finish among the faithful. We need to be, well, like Micah said, don't rejoice over me, my enemies, for when I fall, I will rise again. I'm coming up. Even if I fall, even if I fail, even if I find myself weeping bitterly in some corner, I am going to rise again. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going for the Lord. Will you stand with me? What's the reward for being faithful? I like what Revelation chapter 21, I believe it is, 14, says that in heaven, and this is no doubt symbolic, that on the foundation of the heavenly Jerusalem, that there are written the 12 names of the 12 apostles. Here is his name recorded in an esteemed place just because he was faithful. Just because he was faithful. Jesus felt far at times, but Matthias was waiting on him when he came near again. Jesus couldn't run him away with some of the things that he said. In spite of his feelings, in spite of the failure, he stayed faithful. And his name is written in glory on the foundations of the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, our names won't be on the foundations, but the Bible says in heaven there is a book of life. And our names can be written in the book of life. And I want my name to be there. When I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I want them to open the book and to find my name written there. that in spite of all the things he went through, in spite of all the things he brought on himself, in spite of all the feelings that he had, in spite of the failures that were in his life, he kept getting up. He kept going forward. His desire was to serve the Lord, and his name is written among the faithful in the book of life. I wonder if today you're feeling something. You're feeling like a failure. You're feeling the weight of your failures upon you, and you think that's disqualified you. It hasn't. It hasn't. Keep going. Get up. If you have an apology to make, make it. If you need to repent of something, repent of it. But keep going. Keep getting up. That's the quality of the faithful one. And maybe today you're tired. You're wore out. And you can feel your weakness. And maybe you just want to verbalize to the Lord today, you know what? I feel weak. But with your help, I'm going to be faithful anyway. I'm not going to allow my feelings to stop me from being faithful. I'm going to run. I'm going to run as hard as I can. But I'm going to go for you. Listen to me. There is a reward for the faithful. It's not how flashy you are. It's how faithful you are that counts. Do you have a need today that you'd like to bring to the Lord? We'll pray with you if you've got one.